We will do the seven limb prayer. Go sum gu pe go ne chak te lo lu sha mi chu chu tri ma lu bu to me ne sa di tu ta che sha ke pa ge wa nam la je rang kor wa ma tom pa du le ju ne dro la chu ki ko lo kor wa dam da jeng ge na And then if you turn to page 97, we'll do the short mandala offering. Sa shi pu ki ju shi me to tra
Kodam de lanjanjolo. Oh yeah. Good evening. Welcome back to tennis class. Yeah, Chukila, where you stop?
We were just getting ready to start the definition of conventional truth. Were we going to talk about the homework, or?
Yeah, what do you want to do?
Can?
Yeah. Yeah, Chula, what do you want to say?
No, I was just wondering if we wanted to talk about the homework.
Okay. Whatever you want to do.
So, Geshe-la, we were trying to answer your question. You asked, understand how the Chittamatras, what is the meaning of true existence in the school?
Oh, very good.
So we were trying to answer that. I don't know if we succeeded.
Oh, hello.
Don't read what I wrote. No. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
This is a consensus. This is not my failure.
Consensus. What is consensus?
Group effort. Last Friday night after.
Oh, good.
Our definition.
Must be very good.
We're trying.
Must be excellent.
Oh, gosh. That which truly exists because it is a product of one's tendencies, yet it does not truly exist commonly because we don't all see it in the same way. Now you can look to Shankar to answer this. That which truly exists because it is a product of one's tendencies. We were thinking the tendencies had a big impact in there. Yet it does not truly exist commonly because we don't all see things the same way. It's like the prayer wheel truly exists uncommonly. Are we right at all?
No, it's very good. Yeah. Very, very good, but need to improve. Definition of true existence. There's a definition of true existence. Cool. Yeah.
Well, Geshe-la, I was going back. I was thinking about it during the week.
That's very good news. That's wonderful news. First of all, that's wonderful news. Yeah, really.
But we were all. It's not just me. I think we all think about it during the week. You know.
That's wonderful news. That's very good news. Yeah.
So my feeling was it has to go back to the three natures that you mentioned.
Mm.
Right. So you mentioned the thoroughly established phenomena, the imputation, imputed phenomena, and then you had other powered or dependent phenomena, right? And so, you know, emptinesses have to truly exist.
That's correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
By definition, you know, they're suchnesses, so they have to truly exist. Right?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say anymore.
In Chittamata school,
yeah.
When you think about Madhyamika school, nothing is truly existing.
Yes, in the Chittamata school. So then you are left with imputed phenomena and you have dependent phenomena, right? Mm. Now, so then imputed phenomena, there were two divisions, right? There was existent imputed phenomena and non-existent imputed phenomena, right? You mentioned. So non-existent imputed phenomena can't exist at all because they can't even be objects of knowledge, right? So they can't truly exist.
They don't exist at all, right?
Because they're not. Okay. So then we have left existent imputed phenomena, right? Now, existent imputed phenomena, because they're permanent or because they're generic images, right? They're based on conception, right? They exist. But they have to be false, right? I mean, they exist. See, this is the part I was a little vague. I wasn't sure how to define that, right? They exist only. Okay, let me come back to that. So then we have other power. Okay.
Very, very good.
Then we have other powered phenomena, right? So other powered phenomena have to truly, in the Chittamatra school, right, have to truly exist because you can find it, right? You can, it's an object of knowledge, right? It's dependent cause and conditions, but it still exists, right? It's a product, I had a better, when I wrote it down, it seemed like I was able to think about it more clearly. Anyway, that was the best I came up with. That I can't remember what I wrote down from the existent imputational phenomena. Mm. It seems like those would, they are falsely existent. They would have to be falsely existent, right? So they can't.
What do you mean, falsely existent?
Not truly existent.
Hmm.
Existent imputational phenomena would think, because they're not products.
Yeah, they're not. So I think you don't distinguish between truly exist, false existent. Now you don't make that distinguish. There's like as imputed by, how is it?
Imputed phenomena?
Yeah, imputed phenomena. Within that phenomena, there's imputed phenomena. Some of them exist, some of them are not exist. So now going back to the sky. The definition of true existence. Based on the Pasankika system, then based on Madhyamanga Saustantika, and then I think the Vibhasika Saustantika mind only school, they have from same definition of true existence. So now then that gets a little bit more subtle when you move to Madhyamanga Saustantika systems. So then Pasankika systems, they talk about merely imputed, so that's not just imputed, it's just merely imputed, it's not just imputed. It's like merely imputed, the mere cuts of true existence. Then that system, there's no true existence at all. So Madhyamanga Saustantika, even though there are Madhyamanga systems, they still accept true existence, but the definition is much more subtle. So does mind-only school accept self-knower or not? Does mind-only school accept self-knower or not?
Yes.
How? Why? What is the definition of mind-only school?
It's
in the book?
Yeah, it's propounds the Mahayana tenets. It recognizes the self-knower and external objects. Does not assert external objects and has a self-cognizer. Asserts a self-cognizer.
So, mind-only school, do you accept self-knower?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you 100% sure? Well, so that means 100% sure, yeah. So that's very good. You always go back to the definition, yeah. Ultimately, the theory of true existence in those three systems, particularly in the mind-only systems, somehow it links to the self-knower. So because of the accepting self-knower, so therefore they accept that, dependent phenomena out of three natures, the first two one, so they believe these are to exist. Then ultimately you have to make connection with the self knower. Ultimately it comes down to self knower. To the is very much depend on the concept of self-knower. So therefore, true existence begin from there. The way the self-knower interact with the consciousness, you know, consciousness means five senses. If there's no self-knower, there will be no any, how you say, consciousness. If there's no consciousness, there will be no object. There will be no object. There's object because there's no consciousness. There's consciousness because the consciousness because it's observed by self-knower. But that's like, ultimately it depends on the acceptance of self-knower, but that's not the definition of true existence. There's no definitions. Why they accept true existence? Because of self-knower, but that's not the definitions. Definition of true existence, that's not definition. So, definition is true existence or something else. Maybe if you read Alexander Berzin archive, so maybe you, because they, you know, in that website listed quite clearly, you know, you can read books written by Jeffrey Hopkins or maybe George Dreyfus, you know, so you can read, you know, these books, so then you will find, so see, now different, when you analyze, for example, when you analyze prayer will, Pasankika system, you are not going to find prayer will. You are not going to find. Right? That does not mean prayer will doesn't exist. Prayer will do exist. Prayer will do exist. No, that's called mere prayer will. Merely level prayer will that exists. When you're trying to find through analysis, through investigation, you are not going to find. So this prayer, this object is the base of the. This object is the base where we level prayer will, right? We label this prayer will, but this object is base. So we label this the prayer will. False four systems, no, including Madhyamika, Sarvastantika, they all believe if you're trying to investigate, you will find prayer will. So therefore they think prayer will truly exist. It exists from its own side, otherwise you are not going to find. See? So through that thinking, then the definition will come. Definition of true existence. So what do you think? Pasankika systems, see what do you think? Pasankika systems, if you analyze, you are not going to find prayer will. What do you think? Is that correct? That's not the Pasankika system. That's not how they accept prayer will. Accepting prayer will from based on the Pasankika point of view and based on fast four school is different. They never talk about mere prayer will. They is like beyond their ability. They can't think. Most of them just freak out. You know, when you talk about mere eye, you know, so they just say. These are not proper vessels to pour that emptiness knowledge from the Pasankika point of view. They can get their head round. So now, Tanya Tabe, Tanya Chayasana, Minyebas. I'm not sure, so that does not mean prayer will not exist, prayer do exist. It's merely level. It's merely level prayer will, no? Merely level. No? It has base, then you level prayer will. What is prayer will? There's a mere prayer will. There's a prayer will. The mere. Merely level prayer will, that's the prayer will. If you analyze, if you're trying to find that, you are not going to find. So that shows prayer will doesn't exist from its own side. You know? So then that whole idea, that's like leads to the ultimate truth, you know. you are not going to find merely level prayer will. If you try to find, you are not going to find. Why? Because that clearly proves prayer will doesn't exist from its own side. So the other school say, okay, you can find. Then maybe say like, I'm not sure what they're going to say. Some of them will say, probably say, collection of all the part of this product is prayer. You know, it's not this and that. No, collections. You know, collections. So then there's all debate. They go back and forth. And then how about, you know, if you pieces them all, if you, I said, take all the parts, put it there together. Did you see prayer will? So then, So anyway, I'm not sure how to say in English. Tanya tabe, tabin says nyeba. That's the definition of true existence. Tanya tabe, tabin says nyeba. You're trying to analyze, then you're going to find. So therefore, they exist. Therefore, they exist from their own side. No? Because you can, if you look, not like, you know, where's the prayer? It's not like you look prayer in the room. Obviously, you can see it's on the table. It's not like that. We are not looking for where's the prayer will. Looking for what is prayer will. What is prayer will? Not like we are not looking for where is the prayer will. Yeah, if you're looking for where's the prayer will, that's it's on the table. So now they're different. What is prayer will? There's two different things. So, so this all comes down there. Tanya tabe tanya nyeba. So, so remember, like, aggregate, maybe this is self, maybe aggregate is self. Yeah, if you believe aggregate self, you are going to find self. If you analyze, you are going to find self. The Pasangika point of view, aggregate is not the self, you know. So they say, okay, no, there's a lot of problems in aggregate self. Maybe like a collection of aggregate, maybe their self. You know? So you remember those systems, so their understanding of self is in a kind of like, you know, not very subtle. So if you believe in, okay, maybe aggregate is self, yeah, of course, if you find what is self, you are going to find, you know, you are going to find. Then there you think, okay, see, now self exists, truly exists. Because when you're trying to find, you'll find. Huh? So maybe it could be like one of the aggregates, or maybe like collective aggregates, or maybe consciousness, or maybe continuation of consciousness, self. That's not their understanding of self. You are going to find. No, you are going to find. Huh? So then, anyway, it's called like Tanya Taba. Tanya Taba, Tatians. Tanya means level. Level? Tanya means level. Tabe, Tatu means base. Base, where you level, no? You don't level, this is prayer will. This is not prayer will. It's not level. It's not work like that. No, it's not like, oh, now I can call, you know, anything. I can call this bread. That's not bread, no? So they have to have valid, base. Base. So, Tanya means level. Tagde, tagde means there's a base where you level. Tagde, 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 tagde means when you look for, you will find. So that's the definition of true existence. Inherently existent, true existence is like, how is it, exists from, is nature, naturally exists, there's some of them, there's a number of them. So, let's see, makes sense, any sense? Yeah. It's hard, no, it's not easy. So, Tanya Taba, so let me repeat this. Tanya means level. That's the definition of, in Tibetan, unfortunately, that, you know, that, my English is broken, then you are Tibetan is
non-existent.
So, then, yeah, so the combination of that is very hard. Yeah, you can't find, you know, that one language is broken, another doesn't exist, then it's hard to find. Well, see, now I'm trying to translate in the definition of true existence. Tanya means level. Tanya means there's a base. Tanya means you level. Tanya means level. No? Tanya means level. Then tak means you put the level. You put the level, you know. Panye means level. Tak means putting level. Tak tue means that's where you put the level. Where you put the level. That's tak tue. That's where you put the level. Tsare tse means when you look for. When you look for, nye pa means then you find. So that's the definition of true existence. See? So it will be much better if you can put that in English in one sentence. But you know, this English is like 95% broken, so can do. Tanya tabe, tabe tabe se nyeba, so that's the definition of true existence. So basically, say, if you look for prayer, you will find. Prayer is the kind of level that you level on this object. You level. When you look for that, you will find. So therefore, prayer will truly exist, inherently exist, exist by its own side, altogether. Or, because there's like Rangana Truba, Rangatini Truba, Rangshini Truba, Demba Truba. There's four of them. They are all synonym, different way to say, but they're all synonym. Pasangika, the systems, you, this is not just level, you know. Prayer will is a level. This is the object. You level. This object is a prayer will. Not just level. Merely level. Merely level. Merely level. You know, it's just merely level. Nothing exists on its own side. It's just merely level on this object. That's called mere prayer will. No, mere self. Mere I. So right now, the self that we understand is very much gross. Very much gross is like something independent, not dependent, like something solid, inherent, independent. That's a misunderstanding of self. So mere prayer will. When you're trying to find that, when you look for mere prayer will, you are not going to find. Why? That proof, that indicates prayer will does not exist for its own side. Therefore, prayer will do exist. It do exist because it's merely level. Merely level. Or you can say, I'm not sure what to say.
Geshe? Is it about the self-knower perceiving the prayer will? Because without the perception of it, then it wouldn't be truly existing. Because we're saying when you look for it, you will find it. And you said it's about the self-knower. So does it have with perceiving it that makes it truly existent?
Ultimately, it is something to do with the self-knower. That's the definition, you know. The object that you level as a prayer will, when you look for, you are going to find. Therefore, prayer will truly exist. But ultimately, it goes back to the self-knower.
I mean, is that why?
First we have to should stick with the definitions. So then, linking that to the self, no, that's kind of difficult. You know, you have to really think through. You know, like then not just self, no, then how? Then self, no, like correspond with what is correspond directly with the another type of consciousness. Say right? There's object the self, no, only because what called the definition. Inwardly, the self definition of self knower. So if you remember the kanan kona chochins, that's the definition of self knower. Kanan kona chochins. So self knowers only interact with the, it's like inward something. Kanan kona chos, kanan cho means it doesn't correspond with the object, it all corresponds with the subject which corresponding with the object. So see, now that's a bit more difficult because true existence ultimately is something to do with, it's like very much to do with the self-knower. But that to link that, so first, then you know, the self-knower,
So I wasn't sure about this, but I'm going to make a stab at it, Geshe-la, and you can tell me how wrong I am. If you analyze, this is the Chittamatra school, right? You analyze it, you find it, right? But to recognize, but then the Chitta Matra is, it's the dualistic view, right? If it's when you reach their definition of emptiness is when you are no long, when the sub is when you understand that the subject and the object are the same substance,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's their definition of emptiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you see a prayer wheel and then you also see directly that it's the same as the subject, then the thing that sees the subject must be the self-knower.
Exactly,
right?
That's correct.
So then if the object is there, if you see the object and you notice the object and the subject are the same and it exists, right, then the self-knower is the one that says that that's what I'm thinking is how the self-knower and the true existence comes in.
Yeah,
does that make sense? I don't know.
Yeah, it will make sense slowly.
Okay.
It will make sense.
You're saying it makes sense to you, but not yet to me. That's obvious.
Everything will get improved. Yeah.
Right, I'll keep working at it.
Huh? Or maybe absolutely go the wrong way.
100 million prostrations, like.
No. No need prostration. I probably need to think more. Yeah. So now, linking with the self-knower, that's not quite challenging. And also in my head, it's not 100% clear, even though, so I have some idea, but, it's hard. First here, most important is the definition of true existence.
From everything I'm reading, what I wrote says true existence equals existing by way of its own characteristics.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. And they believe that self-cognizers are truly existent.
Right.
So they believe self-cognizers exist by way of their own characteristics. And then they believe that everything else is a tendency that arises and splits between the subject and the object.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. So the cognizer is truly existent. The external object is this tendency that arises.
Cognizer, self-cognizer.
Right.
Self-knower.
Same.
Self-cognizer, yes.
Self-cognizer is truly existent. How?
Well, I'm not one of them, but that's what the definition is. It says that it asserts that the self-cognizer is truly existent.
So then please talk like one of them.
Okay, it has its own characteristics.
Self-knower?
Yeah. And that the objects don't. The objects and the cognizer, they're all made up of the same characteristics. They are empty of being separate characteristics. That they believe that the object and the subject are empty of being different characteristics.
Exactly.
And so if the self-cognizer is the only thing that is truly existent, then therefore, that's it.
No. Now the question is, how the self knows truly exists and how?
What do you mean, like how? How it came into existence?
The truly existence.
That's not in the definition. I mean, I can make a guess, but that's not in this definition. Like how, or how do they prove it?
How they prove it? The self knows truly existence.
I guess because things exist, and they believe they only exist from the mind, in the definition they're not going back that one step, so I'm having to take it just guess.
But how does your logic then...
Yeah, that's good. You're more going back and forth.
I believe you, but what I'm saying is, how does that explain that the prayer wheel truly exists?
Yeah, that's very good. That's called debate. That's very good. Then it's going back and forth.
How does the prayer wheel truly exist?
It doesn't.
Wait.
Okay, it does not assert external objects.
Oh, that's different. It's the external object and truly exist. There's two different things.
Well, okay.
Can a phenomenon truly exist?
out of three natures, the first two are truly exist. Mm-hmm. External object, that's the difference than truly existing. The mind only school don't accept said that external object, but they accept truly existence. So now you said it's right, prayer will truly exist. Now you have to prove why it truly exists. How, not why, how it truly exists. In my best mind only school.
Okay, so they don't assert external objects.
That's correct.
They don't assert what about external objects? That they exist? They don't assert external objects.
There's no external object. There's no external object
okay.
at all.
All right, so there's no external objects.
Does not mean there's no prayer will. There is prayer will.
Because the characteristics between the object and the cognizer viewing it is the same.
The same substance.
It's the same, same characteristics. They're saying it's all the same thing.
Right, the subject that corresponded with the object,
right.
Same substance.
I don't know if they use the word substance, but
same characteristics. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So, in terms of the word, it's more correctly to say same substance, but doesn't matter. So okay, same substance. Then why, if they're same substance, why then prayer will have to truly exist?
Why is prayer will truly existent?
Why the prayer will have to exist truly? It has to exist by its own sight.
Because the valid cognizer is truly existent, and if they're the same.
Okay, now you're going back. Okay,
like if A equals
like,
B and B equals
like
C.
Cognizers like truly existent. Prove how.
That's beyond me, but.
Yeah, that's good. Then that's the way to go. But you know, you say okay, object is truly exist because the subject that corresponds to the object is truly exist. So then they go back, then the self-knower. So that's what I'm saying, something to do with the self-knower. So now you have to prove, because cognizers truly exist because of self-knower.
Okay, so then the
self-knower. So now, not just the same by word, but it has to have, they have to have some like idea. Otherwise, you know, yes, I've been saying this, you know, okay, because of self-knower, because of that. You know, but ultimately, something to do with the self-knower, because of that, everything truly exists.
I think that they prove that the self-cognizers is truly existent because it has its own characteristics and it doesn't have like an end or something.
Geshe-la, I'm going to take a step. Well, forgive me, go right ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering, Geshe-la, if it's because the self-knower is findable. It goes back to our definition, right? Do I have this correct, Geshe-la? The definition of truly existent would be a labeled base when it's looked for or analyzed is findable.
Yeah, findable. That's the definition of truly existent.
Right. So the self-cognizer, the self-knower, is findable. When you look for it from a Chittamatran point of view, when you look for it, you find it. So it's truly existent.
Yeah, now the question is why?
Turtles all the way down.
How about?
Let's go. I don't think like all the no within the how you say dependent phenomena how you say
dependent phenomena other powered phenomena.
Oh yeah, dependent phenomena of like. The more correctly to say the literally according to the word shewang, that's like power.
Other powered.
Shewang, that's like literally translation. She means other. Shewang, wang's power. That's literally translation to Tibetan word. Shewang, she means other. Wang means power. So when you translate back to Tibetan, it makes perfect sense. But if you live in that like in English, probably there's no, it doesn't have any meaning at all. Shewang. So dependent,
yeah.
So that it has more meaning, but that's not literally translation of the Tibetan word. So then when you translate back to Tibetan word, so then you get something else in Tibetan. You don't get Shewang, you get something else. So either way, there's some problems. No?
I guess I'm just thinking that maybe we're confusing objects with, when we say objects, we talk about the prayer wheel, but it's not relation to an external prayer wheel. I don't think that's the object we're supposed to be focusing on. I think it's more of the form that the senses are apprehending. The visual object of the prayer wheel, that's truly existing. Because it's consciousness. The object is a part of the consciousness. The subject is part of consciousness. So they're both of the same substance.
Not part of the consciousness. It's part of the tendency.
Tendencies.
Not the consciousness. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Then?
Since it's part of tendencies, then it's part of the mind. It's not an external existence. It's it's all in the mind, just like the school implies, mind-only school. So the object, when we say prayer wheel, it's not referring to the object externally. It's referring to the objects that's being apprehended by the consciousness or through the tendencies.
Yeah, now the joy is getting a little bit deeper. No, sir? So anyway, so now see, when we talk about like mind-only school, don't accept external, external phenomena. So now we should not get confused. No, when you talk about like the internal external, not that kind of external. Not that kind of external, because that when they say external, that means something else. External means something else. Not talking about, no, this is not talking about, external means something else. It's not like internal external chidanang. That's not like, no, they're not talking about inside house, outside house. It's not like that. So when they say external, they don't accept external. That external is something different than internal versus external. It's different. So when they talk of external, they are, the definition of external phenomena is like, how is it, that all the atoms that get together, tiny, tiny, what you call it, here, there's so many words, I'm not sure, it's good things, molecule, what is that, what you call this, hydrogen, like, then, what is, whatever is like, these things are made out of.
Particles, elements.
Hydrogen? Atoms, all of them. The small their particles get together.
Like protons.
Yeah, they all get together, and they like, you know, one of them has no shape, no color, no, hardly you can define the east, west, north, because they're so tiny. So then all of them get together, then it kind of produce something solid. So that kind of external object does not exist in mind-only school at all. Because why? That's not how the object is part of the tendency. It's not how this object become like there is a group of, you know, collective atoms and all this kind of like different kind of substance, then it will become something. Okay? So then exactly what you're saying now is like, that is not like that. That's because this is part of the tendency that becomes object. It's not like objects like, you know, like that.
Yes, so I was going to make another stab at the self-cognizer.
What is that? Stab.
Another attempt, another try. And why? Why, as a Chittamatra, I believe that a self-cognizer exists, right? And how about, because everything comes from tendencies, right? So the self-cognizer also has to come from the tendencies. Is that true or no? Well, subjects and objects come from tendencies. I don't know if self-cognizer arises from the tendencies or not, but what I was going to say is that ultimately something has to go from life to life. Right? As a Chittamatra, I have to believe that something has to go from life to life. Right, that is the continuum, my continuum, right? And that has to be the tendency.
That has different names. The old base, what is it called? In mind-only school, that's...
Mind basis of all.
Oh, that is the one that continues. No, that's the particular name, that's Kunshi. Oh, that's the one, the old tendency goes, that's the one goes life after life. Oh.
So now, is that connected to the self-knower? Because I guess the Chittamatras, they have the six consciousnesses, and then they have the self-knower, and then they have the mind basis of all, don't they?
They talk about eight.
Yeah.
Five senses.
So maybe my logic isn't going to work. Oh well, okay.
So we'll just wait, to link that, ultimately it's something to do with the self-knower. Truly existent, inherently existent, something to do with the truly, all of that, so ultimately something to do with the self-knower. So that, we'll come back later, to how to link that. So right now, definition of truly existence. So maybe, Chukila, can you repeat that? Maybe in English, but you all translated. Tanya tabe, tanya tabe, ni juye baso.
The definition of truly existent is a labeled base, when analyzed or looked for, is findable.
Findable. That's the definition of same. True existent, inherent existent,
existing by way of its own characteristic.
That's the one, then truly existent. Then?
Inherently existent.
Then?
I'm sorry, I don't know number four.
There's three of them. They are synonym. So now that based on that, then you have to debate. So now sky is not truly existence. Sky. Based on mind only school, sky is not truly existence. Right? Because now you have to say the definitions. Because
when analyzed or looked for, it's not findable.
Is that true? Yeah. So we need to talk about. We can't just use all our understanding, because some of our understanding is based on pasankika. Then it's going to be difficult. So we just have to, when we're studying mind only school, we need to think like mind only school. Otherwise, if you bring some of your understanding of the pasankika point of view, then it will screw up everything. So now say sky. Like the definite, because sky is not truly existent, because now you say
the labeled base sky, when analyzed or looked for, is not findable.
Is that true? The truth is, does it make sense? Right.
The sky, what is the base of a sky? The valid base of sky.
Oh. So sky is a level, right?
Yeah. What's the base?
Well, it says.
The definition says a labeled base.
Yeah, it does.
The base has to exist before you even can find it.
But sky is a level that you have to level somewhere,
Right.
Sky. So then you level by probably up there.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Up there, right up there in the space. Not here in the space. Not here, right?
Why not here?
That which is everything that's not here.
Because if you say this is sky, then people, I don't know what people think.
So we can make the distinction between space and sky.
Okay.
So sky means always, like...
Generally our language means, yeah,
Same in Tibetan language, that's not different. In Tibetan language, if you call... Namka here, the people, they think there's something wrong with your mind. Space and sky. So that's the base of the level sky.
I see. Okay.
So now you analyze.
I think it falls back to that same thing about subjects and objects.
This all related. So now somehow, eventually, that's good, So now we all are aware. It's all interlinked. So then somehow that has to go back to the self-knower. Self-knower. So I'm getting hot. Yeah. So this is good, this is gives you a lot of areas to think about. So maybe it's something to do with the substance. The one substance divides into object and subject. Maybe something to do with that, maybe something to do with the between the sub object and subject, maybe between the subject and self-knower, ultimately it has to something to do with the self-knower. So because of that, then that's why they believe that things are truly existence. Not everything, but you know, like the ultimate truth, emptiness and the dependent phenomena, all of them are truly exist.
Okay. What if, like, if I was one of them, okay?
Mm.
Then I would, to use an analogy, this room is self-cognizer that truly exists.
Mm.
And all the things in the room are the objects that I perceive, okay?
Mm.
So the reason I feel that the self-cognizer truly exists is because all of those other things exist within this room. All those things are kind of brought into this room.
Mm.
The room is holding them. So the self-cognizer is holding all of the objects that it's cognizing, seeing. You know.
Yeah, indirectly, that's very true. Indirectly, yeah, because if there's no self-cognizer, everything will fall apart. Huh?
So then I can find that. The characteristics of the room, if I'm saying the room is analogous to the self-cognizer,
mm.
I can find that. All the other things are just existing because I put them in the room.
Hmm. So now how are you going to find the room?
By the things that I put in it. So the room only exists... They're so interrelated, the things that I am perceiving and the cognizer that's perceiving them. I think that the things that I'm perceiving... I can see like their impermanence, and I can see. But anyway, I think because I can prove that I am cognizing these things, then therefore I find that the other things exist because I am able to apprehend them. I don't know. I feel like I just keep saying the same thing. But it's mind-only school. At least I can find.
So in my head, it's also not clear. So that's why I can't say for 100% sure, because that's what I know is ultimately something to do with the self. No, I don't know how. No, so I, as I mentioned before, yeah, it's hard. It's not easy. It's not that easy. It's hard. So. So I really appreciate it. All of you are trying very hard. I really appreciate. But you know, like I do know it's something to do with ultimately something to do with the self knower. But now, how to make that link? Oh, that link. I kind of forgot debate. You know, it's like many times on that subject, but. So first we stick with the definitions. Okay, definitions. So I can talk to some of my friends, you know, like the Geshe now, who's the abbot of Kovan Monastery, who's teaching in Singapore. I'll talk to him because we are in the same class many, many years. Maybe he will remember. You know? Not just now, even back in the monastery, it's hard to make link, you know. Everybody knows, like, oh, this ultimately is something to do with the self-knower, but it's hard how. Then everybody gets stuck. How, you know, it's not that easy. Something to, accepting truly existence is this whole, this theory is something to do with the self-knower. Oh. So, maybe, see, so need to be patient. Maybe next Friday I may have some, I will call this Junyi, or maybe some, so now that I feel like it's important, it's like definition that sugar, you can send them there, definition. So then maybe we should move on a little bit, otherwise you know we'll be stuck with the tenet eons and eons. Please don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Huh? Today,
So next Geshe is the definition of conventional truth. On the middle of page 11.
No. I think it's like, did we talk about the eight types of consciousness?
Not yet.
I think we are, the definition of conventional truth is now, not yet.
We talked about the subject.
Talked about the emptiness and the 18 emptiness and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked about subtle selflessness.
Oh, we all finished those, all of them.
Yeah,
done.
And then for an example of a subtle selflessness of person is an emptiness that a...
Yeah, we all read all of them.
Yeah, we did all that. So the next thing is the definition of a conventional truth.
Oh. Then this is where this you see the five. There's like
the five sense object.
No, they talk about Namche Tso Jem. There's eight types of. I think we are reading the different. So here, how does it? Ngapa using this means like
Geshe, it looks like the eight consciousnesses are in the mode of asserting object possessors.
Yeah, like mode of the, that's called five.
Oh, I see. Yeah, thank you, Joey. Yeah, we aren't there yet.
Yeah, so today I think we are going to start from here. We finish above that. All above that we finish. Not really?
The conventional truth we haven't done yet.
Yeah, we did not do conventional truth and then the two divisions of conventional truth.
Hold on. That
comes before the... In our translation,
Okay, now the definition. Okay, sorry. Definition of the conventional truth?
Yeah.
Then can you say it in English, please?
Yeah, the definition of a conventional truth is that which is realized by means of a valid direct perceiver that realizes it clearly with dualistic appearance.
Yeah, so the opposite of that is ultimate truth, right? Opposite of that is ultimate truth. Then there's like the divisions.
Yeah.
Like dependent phenomena and what? Imputed phenomena, right? Division.
Yeah. The way they translate it here is the other powered phenomena, like you explained, and conventional truths.
Conventional truth means like imputed phenomena.
Yeah.
The first one is synonym with product.
Compounded phenomena is how they say it.
Yeah, compounded phenomena. So I should remember those terms. Compounded phenomena called Dije means like it's like produced by something. Mm-hmm. Basically, it means produced by something. It's kind of product. Dije.
With non-compounded phenomena other than ultimate truth.
Non-compounded phenomena called this called dumache. Duche means it's produced by something. Non-compounded is like not produced by anything. Dumache, duche, dumache, this word. So that makes sense, right? Not need explanations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Second one is synonym with non-compounded.
Yeah, non-compounded phenomena other than ultimate truth.
Makes sense. Other than ultimate truth, such as you know, say the flower in the lake, star in the lake, these are non-compounded phenomena which does not exist. Sky is the non-compounded phenomena which exists. So there are two of them. Some of them exist, some of them not exist. No, horn on the rabbit, rabbit's horn, star in the lake, no, so flower in the sky, all of that, no. These are all the, you know?
Written so strangely. So other phenomena are inclusive with compounded phenomena, and conventional truths are inclusive with non-compounded phenomena? Is that what it means?
Huh?
It's like these two sentences that are referring to each other.
I'm not sure which translation you're reading.
Other powered phenomena and conventional truths that are included in imaginaries. The former is mutually inclusive with compounded. So the former is other powered?
Yes.
And then the latter is mutually inclusive with non-compounded phenomena, the altered truth, which is the conventional?
Right, which is imputed phenomena. That's the same thing. The conventional is the same as imputed phenomena. And all of those are the same as non-compounded phenomena that are not ultimate.
I totally don't get it. Truth. So conventional truths, then, are mutually inclusive with non-compounded phenomena other than... Okay, never mind.
Huh? Oh, yeah, certainly.
Next. They assert that all things are common. All things are common bases.
Let's go. All the functioning things are truly exist.
Yeah, common bases of truly existent and false. That all realities are common bases of truly existent and true.
The false, you know, see here, there's something to pay attention. False is same as conventional. No, false means no opposite of true existence. False, jumba, can you repeat the first one word?
They assert that all things are common bases of truly existent and false.
Can you one more?
They assert that all things are common bases.
No, all things, all functioning things.
Mm.
All functioning things, not just things, all functioning things. This to say all functioning things. All things mean that everything that exists and not that never. All functioning things. All the functioning things. Huh?
Yeah. Are common bases of truly existent and false.
Just say truly existent. Just say all the functioning things are truly existent and false.
Okay.
No? We just know conventional truth. False because conventional truth. Okay. All the functioning things is truly existent and false.
Yeah.
That reduces a lot of words. You know, so no need, all the other words is not necessary. So that's not what it is. All the functions, not just all the things, all the functioning things. Huh? If you say all the things, then ultimate truth also there, you know. All the functioning things are truly existing and false. False means conventional. It's not ultimate, it's conventional. Right? Out of true truth, there's conventional truth, not ultimate truth.
That all realities are common bases of truly existent and true.
See, all the reality, that means emptiness. Emptiness is truly existence and is not false. It's like what?
True.
True. Huh? That's opposite of, no? Opposite of, huh? Dimension to Kennedy. So now, those make sense, right? Ultimate truth is truly existent and is truth. Okay, now here, now meaning of, see, now there's so much to learn, you know, so sorry to say, but you know, eventually, Zumba, the meaning, the definition of false and definition of true. False means, you know, the way things appear, the way things exist, is if there's a same, there's true. The way things appear, the way things exist is different. That's false. So that's the meaning of false, you know. Emptiness, the way it appears, the way it exists is the same. There's no difference. That's called true. You know? Conventional truth are all the way it appears, the way it exists is difference. You know? The way it appears, like way it appears, one here, one there, that's not how it exists. You know? That's how it appears, but that's not how it exists. So that's why that's it's false. You know? It's false. You know? See, oh, that's the definition. Oh, for example, the piece of stone and piece of wood, the way it appears as the elephant, because of the magician does something. So when you walk into that area, then your eyes kind of like hallucinated by magic power. Then where do you? What magician has is like piece of wood and a piece of stone. That's what the magician is using. But for you, it's like an elephant. It's like that. The way it appears, the way it exists, is different. There's a false. For example, magic. For example, it's like magic. Or maybe like the robe of the snake. Early morning, they see a piece of robe as a snake. This is just an example. So that part is clear. I'm glad this part is clear. Well, ultimate truth is existence, then true. Why is true? Because the way it appears, the way it exists is same. All the functioning things are white. They are false because the way they appear, the way they exist is different. That's why it's false. Oh, the mission to get a chunyili simply too much. Now she zumba truba. The mission to kill him. You know, chunyili simply too much. So now, like uncompounded phenomena. Other than ultimate truth, are also false. Zumbatruva, Zubishin the Kinis. Zumbatruva. Now, that's like, so now can you say this little bit? No, another, there's something to pay attention.
All non compounded phenomena.
See, all non compounded phenomena, does it? Understand?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, didn't it?
Other than emptiness.
Oh, that's very clear. Huh?
Are common bases of falsely existent. And false.
So now see, Zumba. So now.
So Geshe-la, I have a question.
Zumba. Even though there's like false, both has false. First one, what it says? Falsely existent. Falsely existent and false. There should be no difference. No difference. There's meaning wise, should be difference. No. Zumba. There's a two word. Yeah, what's your question?
So, Geshe-la, last week we talked about the three natures. And so this is just the three natures, but giving more detail on each one, right? Because the functioning things are the dependent phenomena, right? And then the realities are the thoroughly established phenomena. And then the third one, the non-compounded phenomena, that's the same as imputed phenomena.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So if you think about it like that, it makes a lot simpler.
So can you repeat this word like I say?
Falsely existent? Is that
falsely existent, then false.
Yes.
To understand something that's falsely existence, something that falsely existence, that's like having the clear understanding of the conventional truth. You have to understand this is like subtle conventional truth, Zumbara truth, subtle conventional truth. So anyway, so just read so that maybe it will become clear. Zumbara was mentioned to Kenneth. Then the second one, please continue to read.
Realities are pervaded by non-affirming negatives.
So just skip this so there's no one to understand.
And examples of other non-affirming negatives
Just skip that. There's going to be more headache.
Okay. So next, you want the five senses?
Yeah.
the five sense objects, form, etc., arise from the substance of inner consciousness.
So here, a little bit your understanding of the external objects will improve when you read this. Oh.
The five sense objects, form, etc., arise from the substance of inner consciousness upon the propensities of common and uncommon actions placed on the mind basis of all. And they do not exist as external objects.
So this, as I said, we are reading this material, reading every single thing that is here. So most important things, from my point of view, is like selflessness. Selflessness of phenomena, selflessness of self, selflessness of phenomena, self itself. These things, three things important. How to define self? That's a Vipassana school. Some of their understanding of self, maybe it's like Vipassana school. Some of other people understanding of self is maybe Sastantika. Some of their understanding of self is maybe mindfulness school. Some of their understanding of self is maybe Madhyamika systems, no? Like that. So this is important. Here, main thing here, selflessness. Selflessness is a phenomena. Dualistic view. Oh. So then, meaning of truly existence. Meaning of this, there's five things important. Selflessness is a phenomena. You don't need to worry about that in the first two systems. They don't talk about selflessness as a phenomena at all. They only talk about selflessness of self. First two systems, they don't talk about selflessness as a phenomena at all. You only think about selflessness of self. So in the mind, from mind only school, then there's two. Selflessness of self and the selflessness of phenomena. So there's two things. Then from mind only school, you need to think about two. So then here get three, selflessness of self, selflessness of phenomena here. So then, from there, there's two to two. So then, definition of truly existence. As I mentioned, mind-only school, Vipassika, Sastantika, same, no difference. So then, it changed. Definition of truly existence. Madhyamika, Sastantika has his own definitions. So then, Pasankika, Pasankika, that's different. No? So these are the important things to remember. Not every single thing here. First of all, you don't have that much time. The time that we had in the monastery, you don't have this time that much time here. So clearly, it's hard. It will be wonderful if you can remember everything. It will be wonderful. But, monastery, every single day, two class. Debating class, not just teaching. Of course, every day there's teaching. Then you go to teacher, you receive teach. Has a class. There's class. So then there's debate courtyard. One in the morning, one in the evening. Every day, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, no break. 6 days a week, year round. Oh, so then each topic, there's that much every day, 6 days a week. Then this month spends on one topic. 1 month, How many class? Debate. 4 hours in the morning, maybe 6-7 hours in the night. Clearly you don't have that much time. So you shouldn't expect that you are going to remember all this material that's not going to happen, This is study, basic program is not going to happen like in monasteries. Father, well, there's no time, that's not my time. Huh? So because of that, so important things, that's what I think, important, you know, it's like those, you know, three, there's five areas, self-ness of self, how to define self, this is very, very critical, it will help. Then how you define selflessness, or maybe that's gross selflessness, subtle selflessness, these are the things important to remember. So, so then maybe one more, then we'll stop, one more. Then the last, we finish one paragraph, one section.
The true aspectarians assert that the five sense objects, forms, etc., are not external objects but do exist as gross objects.
That's okay, leisure. So, so other center, Shankar, other center, when they started this basic program, so I don't remember, I did talk to Gichini, so you know, like they also run, Gichini also now teaching the basic program in Singapore. So, but he's like now doing the second round, I'm not sure, second round, he's already finished first round. So I did ask him, so now I don't remember. So, how other centers, they read every single thing? They read all the materials?
Well, Geshe-la, I don't have a lot of experience, but what I do know, for example, at the Kurukula Center, when Geshe Silga did it, they did it line by line.
Line by line, like this. Huh?
Yeah, like this. And I think at when I was there at Sitchin Ling in San Francisco when Geshe Dagpa was doing it, I think he was also going line by line. But I didn't attend a lot of those classes, but I think he was doing it line by line.
Particularly the elder Geshe, they will go line by line, that's for sure. No, they will not skip anything. So anyway, so even though as I'm saying, if we are reading this line by line, so you know, the most important thing that they don't worry about not able to remember all of that, no? So now, then the best thing, if you really want to remember all of them, so then more debate is necessary. Debate doesn't have to be argue over something, you know. You just come here, ask someone, what's the definition of self-knower? You know? So then that's how you debate, you know, the definition of self-knower. So then, like, then you ask back and forth, back and forth. That's the one way to have, like, a longer memory, then you remember a long time. The topic that you most debate, you more likely you'll remember after many, many years, you remember quite clearly. You know? Then more debate. No, not having many classes once a week, that's like, I don't think that we are going to learn back in the monastery if you have only once a week class. I think like nobody's going to learn in the monastery. If you have only one class a week, no debate, I don't think that's the, so here, no debate, no like class once a week, and sometimes when the weather gets bad, that class also got cancelled. So, and the job, you know, then the family, you know, so it's hard, you know, it's hard, so don't take the, see, these are the critical points, so we will probably read line by line, so then the most important is to remember at least those points, it's important to remember. So, otherwise, you know, probably is really stuck with the tenet with one eon. So, to me, maybe next, then I'll read from here. Okay, next. Definition of true existence. I just said, Chugila kindly translated. So now, definition of true existence in Madhyaminga Savastrantika point of view. Please look up the Alexander Berzin's archive. So if you find one, bring it to the class, then I will see whether how it's translated. Or George Dreyfus books, or... Yeah, Madhyaminga Savastrantika point of view of definition of true existence. So then, So in the Pasangika systems, all these definitions means nothing. You know, there's no true existence at all. There's no true existence. Everything's merely level. There's no true existence. So the Pasangika point of view, there's slightly different between Pasangika system and this Madhyamika system, right? Pasangika system and Madhyamika Sarvastantika. Madhyamika Sarvastantika and Madhyamika Pasangika, between those two systems, the definition of true existence, there's slightly different. So I did find that out, you know. So then when we read those classes, then we help. So we already have definition of true existence from first three school, same. Now the definition of true existence up from the base on Madhyamika Pasangika system and Madhyamika Sarvastantika system, that's true, slightly different. So the next Friday, so we'll discuss that, and also I'll read the materials a bit. So, I don't want you to get discouraged, okay? So, I'm not saying that you are discouraged, but I'm not like saying that you are discouraged, but don't get discouraged, you know?
Yeah? If you were thinking about it, don't do it.
No. Yeah, don't think about it, get discouraged. See, like, as I said, this tenet, it has 13, I think, if I believe correctly, it has 13 long pages, but we spend months. We debate every day, 6 days a week, class, debate morning, afternoon, morning, evening, 6 days a week, and every day class. Still, no. See, it's like I'm also having a hard time. Like, ultimately, something to do with the self-knower. Ultimately, so we did a lot of debate there, so now it's not clear. So, There's no choice. Everybody has to practice patience. There's no choice.
Geshe-la, what should we do for our homework? What would you suggest?
Yeah.
Oh, you're asking me right now on the spot?
Yeah. So maybe you think so. What? How's about to discuss about subtle selflessness and the gross selflessness in the mind-only school?
Okay. Okay.
So I think the subtle selflessness. Maybe have more discussion about selflessness. That's very good. self and selflessness. So that's good. So then make sure everybody understand. Make sure, you know, next time when we talk about that, don't need to open the book. It just is here, you know, selflessness. So that's a critical point to remember. And gross selflessness and subtle selflessness. So please discuss about that. And the subtle selflessness, that's a little bit, you know, difficult. So before I came here, I did read a little bit from the Lama Tsongkhapa text, but still. There's tons of problem of the language. Yeah.
Geshe-la, are you including the selflessness of phenomena and selflessness of person when you say gross and subtle?
Phenomena.